Al-Bayan Radio presents Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi presented by Nidal Ayyubi.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wassalam. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to our series Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah. And we have reached hadith 32. There is not to be any causing of harm.
Al-hadith 32 عن أبي سعيد سعد بن مالك بن سنان الخدري رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا ضرر ولا ضرار. حديث حسن رواه ابن ماجه والدارقطني وغيرهما مسندا، ورواه مالك في الموطأ عن عمرو بن يحيى عن أبيه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مرسلا، فأسقط أبا سعيد وله طرق يقوي بعضها بعضا.
On the authority of Abu Sa'id, Sa'd ibn Malik ibn Sinan al-Khudri radiyallahu anh, may Allah be pleased with him, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is not to be any causing of harm, nor is there to be any reciprocating of harm. This is a Hasan hadith. It is recorded by Ibn Majah, Ad-Dar al-Qutni, and others with a complete chain back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Malik also recorded it in his Muwatta with a chain missing the name of the companion from Amr bin Yahya, from his father, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Sa'id is dropped from the chain. He has other chains that strengthen one another. My dear brothers and sisters, this hadith mentions one of the most important principles in Islamic law. Its lesson or ruling virtually touches upon every aspect of fiqh. Imam Abu Dawood, rahimahullah, he said that this is one of the hadith around which all fiqh revolves. Now, the narrator of this hadith is the great companion Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu an, whose name is Sa'd bin Malik. And he was from the tribe of Khadraj, from the Ansar, from the residents of Medina radiyallahu an. On the day of the Battle of Uhud, he radiyallahu an presented himself to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to join the army, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam rejected him because of his age, because he was too young. And it's mentioned that he was around 13 years old at the time. And his father radiyallahu an took part in the fighting and became a shaheed, became a martyr in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After the Battle of Uhud, Abu Sa'id took part in all of the battles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He radiyallahu an was one of the most knowledgeable companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he passed on that knowledge to the following generation. And he was one of the most important teachers of hadith amongst the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. He died in the year 64 after Hijrah in Medina. 1170 hadith have been attributed to his authority. Al-Bukhari and Muslim both recorded 46 of those hadith. Al-Bukhari recorded an additional 16 not found in Sahih Muslim, while Muslim recorded another 52 hadith from Abu Sa'id radiyallahu an that Al-Bukhari did not record. Now this hadith
لا ضرر ولا ضرار
has been translated or interpreted in many ways, such as no harm and no harming. Another interpretation is there is not to be any causing of harm, nor is there to be any requital of harm. My dear brothers and sisters, this brief statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has been understood in many different ways. In this hadith, لا ضرر ولا ضرار, the meaning of ضرر and ضرار, as well as the difference between them, needs to be established before we comment on this hadith in any further detail. Now, the ulama have given many interpretations. From them is that the two words darar and dirar simply mean the same thing, and they have been stated together as a type of emphasis. But as we know, my dear brothers and sisters, there is a principle that the ulama have mentioned, and that is to understand a different phrase or word as giving a new meaning to a sentence takes precedence or priority over understanding it simply as giving emphasis. A second interpretation is that darar means that no one else to be harmed, meaning that a person who's being harmed is not required to be patient and take that harm, while dirar means that no one is to harm anyone else. And a third interpretation is darar is a case where a person gets some benefit from something while his neighbor is harmed. As for dirar, this is in reference to a case where the person himself enjoys no benefit from something while it is harmful to his neighbor. As we said, my dear brothers and sisters, Imam Abu Dawood, rahimahullah, he stated that this hadith is one of the hadith which all fiqh revolves around. And this hadith is from the most important principles of fiqh, or fiqh maximums, or qawa'id al-fiqhiyya. And that's why the text of this hadith is one of the most important maximums. And many, many other maximums were derived from the text of this hadith. Some of them are as follows. 1. Harm is to be prevented from appearing as much as possible. 2. Harm is to be eradicated. 3. Harm is not to be removed by a similar harm. 4. A greater harm can be removed by a lesser harm. So for example, if someone has no other options, he should take the lesser of two harms. Also, if there is conflict between two harms, precedence is given to avoiding the greater harm. 5. The presence of a particular harm is accepted towards a general harm. 6. Preventing harm takes precedence over gaining or attaining benefits. 7. If there is a conflict between factors permitting something and others prohibiting something, the prohibition takes precedence. And finally, 8. Something harmful is not given precedence just because it was pre-existing. In other words, the pre-existence of something does not allow it to continue to exist and be the cause of harm. Another maximum is that if there is a conflict between individual harm and public harm, the prohibition of public harm will take precedence, meaning will be given priority. So we see from this, my dear brothers and sisters, that from the objectives of the Sharia is to prevent harm and to remove all harm. And if we are unable to remove harm completely, then we are to reduce it and minimize it and to promote goodness and maximize it. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, it's prohibited to cause harm, especially without a valid or good reason. And there are many types of harms that are mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah. For example, when someone writes a will, if a person has some money and he wants to give it to someone who is not related to him, he is allowed, but he must not exceed a thuluth or one third. If he exceeds that limit, he will cause harm to the immediate inheritors. Another situation is to give someone more than he deserves, as stated in the Quran. To favor anyone of the inheritors is harm and is prohibited. Another example of causing harm without a valid or good reason is in marriage and in relationships between husband and wife. If someone, for example, divorces his wife and then he reconciles with her, but his intention in reconciliation is that he can cause her more harm, then this is not allowed in Islam. Another example is traveling or being far away from the family for a long time and without good reason. This can cause harm to the wife and family. Another example is breastfeeding. In the case of divorce, the husband tries to take the baby away from the mother and not allow her to feed him. This is prohibited. Also in selling and trading, when someone is in great need of something, the seller who knows this sells this product to him at a very high price. This is not allowed also. And there are many other examples, my dear brothers and sisters, that has been mentioned by the ulama. Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he also mentions that there are also some other types of actions which imply that Allah did not ask His servants to do anything that will cause us harm. He said that whatever Allah commands us to do is beneficial in this world and the hereafter. And whatever Allah prohibits is harmful to us, whether it is in this world or the hereafter. Some examples are tayammum. This is permissible for sick people or when there is no water available. Also, the traveler or the sick does not have to fast and they can make it up in the future so as to not harm themselves. Also, the person who has debt. If you lend someone money and he is indeed in a very bad financial situation, then you should give him time so he can pay it back to you, or even better, forgive him of this debt. So these are just some examples that are mentioned by Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, where there is a caused harm and that harm should be prevented. Wallahu a'lam. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, regarding acts that are beneficial to one and harmful to another. Now, a person may perform an act that is permissible and beneficial for him, but it may have negative consequences for others. An example is when a person uses his property in a way that is permissible, but while doing so, he has damaged his neighbor's property. How are cases like this to be handled in the light of this hadith? My dear brothers and sisters, if a person performs an act that is customarily considered improper because it is known to lead to harmful results, he will be held responsible for that act and should be prevented from it. The example that the scholars give is a person starting a bonfire on his property on a very windy day. If the fire spreads to his neighbor, he is to be held responsible for the damage that he caused. And this is something which the ulama agreed upon. Now, if there is an act that is normally acceptable and proper, then what is the ruling? For example, a person adds a second floor to his house. And now he has windows overlooking his neighbor's property, by which he can see the woman folk who live next door. Is he allowed to do such a thing, which obviously brings harm to his neighbor? Now, there is a difference of opinion among the scholars concerning the extent to which this hadith we are discussing, لا ضرر ولا ضرار, there is not to be any causing of harm, nor is there to be any reciprocating of harm, is to be applied when it comes to one's sole personal belongings, shared or co-joining properties, and the public interest. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, why this question is difficult to answer is because it involves conflicting harmful results. The owner of his property will be harmed if he is not allowed to use his property in a manner that benefits or pleases him. And the other party, the neighbor in this case, will be harmed if the owner is allowed to use his property in the manner he so desires. Now, the different schools of fiqh, the different madhahib, have taken different approaches to this question, going from one extreme in applying this hadith with respect to personal property to the opposite extreme. And without going into a detailed mentioning of what the madhahib have said and other ulama, we can say that any act that a person does with his personal private property can be seen as an infringement or harm upon others. Even the simple act of driving onto a highway is actually harmful to others, as it causes the highway to be more congested, causes drivers to drive slower, and causes more accidents. Hence, it is clear that this hadith does not imply the prohibition of any type of harm, especially if harm is thought of in a wide context. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, like the rulings of the Sharia with respect to the laws of necessity, there are some forms of hardship or harm that must be considered customarily and within the means of humans to bear. Those types of harm are not given any special rulings in the Sharia, and it is expected that humans must bear them. The Sharia, my dear brothers and sisters, did not give a strict definition of harm. Hence, it must be something that is left up to the cultural environment and may change over time. In other words, what may be considered harm at one time or place may no longer be considered harm at another time or place. So when we take this into consideration, if there is an act that causes a normally accepted and expected harm, and the person performs the act in the normal manner, then he is not to be prevented from doing that act, even if it may cause some slight harm to others. However, if he performs that act in an improper fashion, or if that act is originally considered one that causes an unacceptable level of harm, then he is not allowed to perform the act. If, in that case, he goes ahead and does the act, he will be liable for any damage or harm that he causes to others. Also, if the act causes a general harm, then the interest of the general public takes precedence over the interest of the individual. Finally, if the act rarely or usually does not lead to an expected harm, he should feel free to perform the act. But my dear brothers and sisters, the following considerations must be taken into account. 1. Islam respects personal property and the freedom to use one's property in any permissible manner. 2. Islamic law has one of its main goals, the bringing of utility and the prevention of harm. 3. In the optimal case, neither the owner of the property should be harmed by being restricted in his actions, nor should anyone else be harmed. 4. The rights of society as a whole, or the general public in general, take precedence over individual rights. 5. There are some levels of harm and hardship that Islamic law recognizes will exist and that the people must ordinarily bear. And lastly, things that rarely or seldom occur are overlooked by the Sharia. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, the meaning of this hadith is there is not to be any causing of harm except that which is commonplace, normal, and acceptable to all. As such is, in reality, unavoidable, nor is there to be any reciprocating of harm except what is the result of the due process of the law. It must be clearly understood, my dear brothers and sisters, that no Muslim should intentionally cause harm to another Muslim. If he does so, even if his act is considered legal in this world, he may be held sinful and accountable for that act on the Day of Judgment. And finally, my dear brothers and sisters, regarding this, if a person is willing to sacrifice his right to use his property in a beneficial manner for himself because he fears that it may cause harm to others, then he has done a good deed by giving preference to his brother, and inshallah, Allah will be pleased with that act and will reward him generously on the Day of Judgment. So my dear brothers and sisters, to summarize, in Islam, one should never cause any unjustifiable harm to others. Also, one should not respond to another's harm by causing him harm. He can demand his Sharia rights, but he cannot go beyond that to harm the other person. And with that, we conclude today's lesson. والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته